You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess.
You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Purpose Edit podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
Shane, what up, homie?
What up? What's going on?
Oh, you know, the usual, man. Another day, another dollar, trying to get it.
Dope, man.
How you living, man? How are you doing? Let's do a brother check-in. How you doing? Like, how you really doing?
Stress level's a bit high. Well, was a bit high this weekend, but it's coming back down. I'm ready to get into this conversation today. Just got a lot bubbling. Just a lot on my brain. But I'm good, man. I'm good. Life is good. Moving forward. Ready to get through the semester. How about yourself?
That's what's up. Like you, it was a lot of stuff on my plate. You know how, like, you feel like you got 10,000 things you're trying to do, and you at the beginning of having all that on your plate, and you know, like, if I could just get through 2 months, a lot of this stuff will go away. I'm just at that part where, like, it's starting to dwindle down. I'm starting to figure some stuff out. I'm starting to get into a groove and a rhythm. So it's like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Will it go away, or do you just figure out how to manage it?
Ebbs and flows. Some stuff goes away. Some stuff evolves. But for me, the stuff that evolves and morphs into something else is I can manage that better because I know where it started out from.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was pure chaos in the beginning.
I can imagine. That makes sense.
So I know we got What Blew Your Mind to do, but I want to give the audience just a preface, if that's the right term to use here, which is today's topic. The minute I shot it to you, we were immediately on opposite ends of the spectrum. We were immediately at odds.
Like, how do you know that?
Because your reaction to it right off the bat, yeah, I'm a no.
Okay, yeah.
The title alone told you, nope, I'm not on board with that. I can't wait to have this conversation.
Yep.
So we're not going to reveal it yet. Let's do what we always do. Every week, we give the people something new out of your brain. So what blew your mind this week?
So this weekend we went to Atlanta for a family gathering, and this morning we was in the hotel and we were watching a show. I think it was like Coupon Shoppers or something. So I'm a give the bar the line before I tell the story. I think we have to separate ourselves from people who are conditioned to always think negative, because it is a drain. Like, mm-hmm. Having habitual negative thoughts, especially if you're trying to be positive, is a drain. So anyway, watching Coupon Shoppers, right? So I don't know how it materialized, but one woman who's a couponer was taking a woman through the store, and I guess she told her that I can get your bill down to $150 based on the coupons I have. So they're going through the store, they get through the register, they ring up all the items, and the total is $698.
$698,
right? And she is supposedly has been shopping and picking up stuff that's gonna get this, with these coupons, is gonna get her down to $150. So you see how you're looking at me right now? You're kind of like, yeah, right. All right. So as the woman's running the coupons, the price is going down, down, down. But the woman that's supposed to shop, she looking at her like, yeah, right, you can't do this. Bye-bye, you can't do this. Da-da-da-da-da. Just looking at her, just like real sassy and like, ha-ha-ha. Meanwhile, the coupon lady's getting to the end. So at the end, she ended up getting it down to $368.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Wasn't $150, but you knocked $300 down. But this woman was so caught up in the you can't do it that she completely missed the fact that she just took a step and saved $300.
First off, inflation is real.
Inflation is real.
That's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Second, here's my question though, because I remember it was some years back. We met a woman who was couponing. But what I saw that I didn't like, she was buying a bunch of stuff that she didn't need.
And to me, that's the problem. There's a don't get me wrong. There's a level of hoarding that goes along with this, in my opinion. There is definitely a level of hoarding. However, like in this time of inflation, like, and me and my wife is watching, and I think what she was waiting for, there's some type of coupon system that you can use that if you use it enough, it picks up like a superpower where you get double bonus. I don't know. For my coupon. Because my wife kept saying, wait for the double bonus. But yeah, there are things that, you know, people excessively hoard, but there are situations where, and this is another gem in and of itself, you only go with what's on sale. You only buy what your budget allows. You only get, like, if you want some Lil Debbie's chocolate Swiss swirls, if they're not on sale this week, but the Chip Ahoy cookies is, well, guess what? You get the Chip Ahoy cookies. Mm-hmm. And you wait next week, which is a skill within itself. You know what I'm saying? So I think the bigger point, and I get your point, hoarding is not good. Well, I don't know if hoarding is not good. Let me not say that, because I am a bit of a hoarder. There's some things involved with hoarding, but don't miss your blessing, folks, just looking for negative. There's you know, like, I don't get it. I will never be able to understand a deficit mindset.
Yeah.
Because with every adverse situation, there's opportunity.
True. The silver lining in a dark cloud, do you have the ability to see that, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel? This weekend, my dad came and stayed with us, and we were having a conversation about kind of along the same topic, but basically, the conversation we had and how it aligns to what you just said was, I told him, if you look for dirt, you're going to find dirt. Yep. Plain and simple.
Every day of the week, four times on Sunday.
Every day. And so to your point about the people that have that pessimistic mindset, they don't believe, they miss the blessing, they miss what it was they were supposed to get out of that opportunity or that experience because they're looking for dirt.
Yep.
They can't see the goal. So you're right. You got to be careful 100% of the time who's around you and what their outlook on life is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. 100%. So getting into the topic, I'm actually just going to listen and play along first. And just what? Try to, yeah, I'm going to listen because you may bring up a point that I didn't that I might have missed. So I'm going to listen. And I have my points. I actually wrote it down.
Whoa. Oh, you came ready to debate. I didn't even yeah. know that.
Well, so now, I'm going to listen today. So, short money, talk to me.
Now I got to. Hang on. All right. So, topic today. Say no to short money. Short money. First, we got to define it. I define short money as the quick, I can come up, you know, get a buck real quick. It's not a whole lot. But in that also means that I'm not getting my absolute max value. I haven't put a whole lot of thought into the opportunity and what I can get out of it. And see, you're laughing right now already because you know you're on the other side of this. I think you should say no to the short money.
So can I get an example? of what you would consider short money?
Short money. In my case, somebody asked me to speak, right? Or they're curious about what it would cost for me to speak. Now, this is an opportunity that real easy, don't take much for me to do. It's virtual. I don't even have to do it live. I don't have to travel, right? I can stay right in the comfort of my own home. They offer me $500 to speak. Mm-hmm. I know that I've spoken for way more than that, and my value is way more than that. $500 is short money in that case. I can make quick $500 that I don't have, and I'm grateful for every dollar that I could get my hands on, right? But in reality, I'm setting a precedent in my head that I'm really only worth $500. I may have charged and quoted X number of dollars previously and have gotten that to speak, but really what I'm saying is that $500 is actually what I'm worth. Mm-hmm. That's short money to me. Mm.
Okay. That is short money to you. Okay, so are there any benefits? Because, okay, so what are the negatives of the short money? So I'm assuming the short money becomes about the time.
Short money becomes about time. Short money becomes about devaluing oneself. Mm-hmm. Or a thing. Most of the time, short money, we're talking about us personally. We are the commodity. We are the thing that is quote unquote for sale. So okay. Short money becomes about devaluing oneself, setting bad precedents, bad habits, bad behaviors. If you could do it for less, then that's what you should have quoted, right? But if your value is higher than that, then you quote your true value and you hold out playing the long game. Because you know what you're worth and you set a different precedent and expectation for how people should treat you.
Okay. So what sets your value? Is it simply because you got a bigger check? So that automatically sets your bar and your value? Or is it, this is what I feel I'm worth? Like, what sets your value?
For me, let's say in the example of getting asked to speak, my value is the knowledge and experience that I have that organizer or that audience doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so me showing up to speak is adding value to them that hopefully, that more than likely, will allow them to go multiply whatever they were doing, their contribution, right? That's the whole point of bringing in a speaker. You get a nugget or two that hopefully amplifies what you were already thinking or organizes your thoughts in a way that you had never thought about it, never considered it. Mm-hmm. So if I can teach, let's say, a company, if I can teach you how to get new business over and over and over again, and every new account is equivalent to $10,000, but mm-hmm. I only ask you to pay me $5,000, one account more than pays for what it costs you to invest in me coming to speak. Mm-hmm. Just one new account. But we know that I'm going to teach you how to get more new accounts, a repetitive process. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So with the short money, are they long-term or just short-term shebangs? Are you saying don't take long or short?
Long money versus short money. Long money is playing the long game. Thinking about chess, not checkers. I could make a quick buck right now, devalue myself, do something, just a quick hit just to get a dollar and keep it moving, right? Or I could actually think through, how might this hurt me by taking this short money?
Okay, how could it hurt you?
A number of different ways. Like I already said, like for me, especially, for me, it's a quick buck. Oftentimes takes more time and effort than the long game would. So I'm going to spend more time on this short money and get less.
Okay. The the time aspect of it, I totally get. The time aspect of it, I totally get. And actually, I had a what blew your mind. I had a should I let it slide?
Oh, should I let it slide?
I had one that goes perfectly with this topic.
Okay. Okay.
I have one should that run perfectly with this topic. So, working on a book, and I'm going to talk broadly, although I told the person I was going to talk about this. So, had somebody to do my artwork for the book. Okay. So we talked, we've been talking about it, finally get a date for the book. So I was like, okay, you know, do the artwork. What is your price? This person quotes me the price. I say, cool. We agree. Boom, boom, boom. 2 days later, I get the email. Doc, I think I undercut myself.
Oh.
And I need to go basically double the price for each picture. Can we set up a meeting to talk about it? I didn't respond to said email because I think a lot of things get lost in translation. So I held. But before I go any further, should I let it slide? Or how would you have dealt with that?
I would have responded with, yeah, let's get on a phone call because I'm curious to hear why you think you underquoted and you now should be paid double what you quoted me. Because I get mistakes happen. You could have fat-fingered anything, right? Or did you just underestimate what the work was going to entail? And then a third option is, did you tell somebody what you were doing and they said, you should have charged double? And so now you're reaching back out, which is usually the case.
Plot thickens. 100% the reason. 100% the reason. So I look at said person and I say, so person, you're essentially asking me to double my price, to double my budget for the project. For this portion of the project, you're doubling my cost. I said, because I need to get this done, I'm going to honor this. But my issue with it, it wasn't even about the money. If you wasn't sure how much you were worth, you should have said, what is your budget to begin with? And this is a younger person, so I'm mentoring at this point. I said, this is a budget, so you should have asked that, said boom, 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 boom. Two things. One, I was going to give them a little bit more than their initial ask anyway, just because. So 2 days later, I had a person give me a call who is a degreed person in the field. So I say, hey, how much would you charge for this? I show them shooting art. They actually quoted me a price less than the initial price that the person quoted. So I said, bet, you know, I wanted to put you on anyway. So how about you do half, he does the other half, I still come out cheaper. Now, this is where I got, and I brought it to the guy, and the guy was like, cool. So now this is where I probably got, you got caught being average because you pinch in a dollar. So the guy that came in, he ended up flaking and said he can't do it. So I went back to the other guy. I said, I'll pay you what you wanted plus 25% more because now I'm in a pinch and I needed it. Okay, no biggie. Boom, boom, boom. But this is the problem. And this is why I say this is the problem. What I actually wanted to do was I wanted to pay and I wanted to give him points on the book. So now, as opposed to giving you this little bit of short money right here, I wanted to give you a lifetime stream of income that as long as this book is being sold, you would have got a piece of that book. And it's because I believe in group economics. I believe in helping my people. And I don't want 100% of nothing. I would rather 50% of something rather than 100% of nothing. I have a question for you, but go ahead. I'll listen to you though.
So far, it sounds like we on the same page, and I honestly expected us to not be. It sounds like you are in favor of
because I adamantly disagree with you, and the reason why I say that is because what if that $500 speaking engagement had a $5,000 speaking engagement in that room? That whereas if you just did it, the next door opens up and the next door opens up. And this is, and then you use the word value a lot. And yeah. I chuckled because I heard a great quote today, and you didn't use the word, we talk about knowing your worth. Imagine how much that context changes if it says, if you look at it from the perspective of understanding your value, not necessarily from the perspective of what you're worth, but what you're giving the other person. And for me, I'm willing to take a lowball number because I believe so confidently in myself that I'm going to crush it to where you will have no choice but to pay me on the other side of it. And that's just my, and this was actually the same conversation I was having with the gentleman. The other part about it is I'm working with a publisher, right? So what if your art gets in the book and they need an artist down the line? You willing to throw that over a little couple extra dollars?
See, the thing that's the hardest part about this conversation is you could throw in so many what ifs, right? Because
you can.
On the other end of, I hold out for the bigger paying gig. Well, they see me speak. They go to the organizer. The same person in the room goes to the organizer and go, hey, you booked him. How much was he? And they share with him or her what they paid me, right? They didn't pay me $500. They paid me a bigger amount. So now that person already has an expectation if they come to me, right?
They already have an expectation that they're coming. But if you go in and crush it, they also come with another expectation.
I'm going to crush it whether it's $500 or $5,000 or $50,000, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I got
I believe that.
I'm gonna crush it.
I believe that. But to me, that's more of a reason to take that $500.
That's just it. The potential leads, because that's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
potential. There could be a lead in the audience that could lead to another gig and a bigger gig and more gigs, and that's the whole what if thing. It could be in the audience of 500. It could be in the audience of 50,000. You're right. It could be. But the value part of it that don't change is I know what value I bring to the table. I know what my experience, quote unquote, is worth. And I can't lose sight of that. I just can't. It would be like you going against your moral beliefs around people protecting children. Right? Like, people should protect children. Children are defenseless, right?
That's way too deep.
You being a teacher, right? Your love of children, your love of kids, protecting them, teaching them, helping them, like the kids you mentoring, right?
I'm the same way.
I believe that everybody should give back to kids in some way, shape, or form. Nothing's going to make me change that philosophy. I'm going to always believe that. That's the same thing with me knowing my worth. Nothing's gonna make me compromise that. Not no little short money.
I'm about the setup, man. I just believe in getting a setup because of
what would make you hold out and play the long game?
What you mean?
Go for the long money. What would make you say no to short money?
If it was ridiculously low. If it was ridiculously low, or strategically it didn't make sense with what I was doing. Or if it's requiring, and this is the one we have to measure for me. If it was requiring more time than it was worth. If it was stealing more time than it was worth. But I mean, you said it yourself. You said it was an easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you said wrong. I've had opportunities where I've said yes to short money. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, we all have.
There's obviously context in that, right? Because you said, how much time does it take? If I don't have to do nothing, right, and made a quick buck, like literally it didn't steal time, to use your phrase, it didn't steal anything away from me, then I say yes to the short money. It's just when you, I think my point is this. When you say yes to the short money too many times, that becomes a problem. That's problematic.
Yeah, but that's still relative. I mean, too many is 10 times too many.
True. You know, because that's determined by each person.
Yeah. And to the bigger point, I think, and this goes for us too, right? Just because you have a platform don't make you right. And cool. I think the problem is too many times we just put things out. And I'm not talking about us specifically, but we're not exempt from it. We're like, there's no law, there's no science to anything. And I think we would be more well off to just support people along their journey and understand that as long as you're doing something, you're moving forward, it's better than being stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just, you know, tomato, tomato, I totally do get your point. I totally do get your point about the time, but I think for me, where it gets lost is that we're in a generation where everybody wants instant gratification. And that for me is where this kind of ends, because everybody just thinks it happens like that. Like, I do it one time and know my worth and yada, yada, yada. And I just don't believe it works that way. And hey, this is the other thing I've been meaning to tell you. Working hard is no longer my objective.
It's not?
No.
When did you never mind working hard?
Because when you go outside, what color is the sky going to blue? When you go outside, what color is the sky going to be?
More than likely blue, because I live in Florida and it's beautiful here.
Yeah, the sun.
Probably a orange yellow.
Okay, so me working hard is not a conversation, because that's just what we do, right? That's just what we do.
Okay.
So now I have to move my mind from hard work to more planned out, structured work, understanding my time. And I don't know how the hell I got here, just my bigger point, what we were talking about in the conversation, but I think just with this society, we are just too caught up in the short run. And I forgot what I was talking about. So, and it'll come back to me.
You just helped me prove my point.
Yeah.
That's the transition. Early on, you go for the short money because you don't know your value, don't know what you really bring to the table. And as you transition and start to understand not just your worth, but what you have to offer, you transition to no longer working harder. You're now working smarter. You're being more strategic. And so I'm going to do less gigs throughout the year and still make the same amount of money, if not more, than what I would if I said yes to every little short gig.
No, that's not what I meant.
Well, thank you. You proved my point anyway.
No, I disagree. What I mean for me is I need to be more disciplined.
Okay.
Discipline is what I need to focus on right now. So whereas I still may take the short gigs or whatever it may look like, I may say, all right, I'm looking at this. You want me to do this. This is where it fits in my schedule. I can't jump on it right now because I got this
right
ahead of me and moving forward. But
you gotta go and protect your time. I get your point. Let me say this too. I get your point. And there are absolutely times where it makes sense to say yes to the short money. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need to get some practice under your belt.
Thank you. Positioning.
Which also includes doing some stuff for free. Forget the short money.
Yeah.
You just need to go learn and be willing to do it for free. So that absolutely makes sense.
I think where the middle road is understanding your time. And don't spend your time, don't let measure the opportunity with the time. You have to keep those two in mind. And if you have something that you're only gonna, if you're given 100% and you're only getting 20% back in value of your time, you really have to look at that. But I see both. And understand when it's time to tax, you charge, and you charge with tax when it's time. When it's time, but you just don't wake up out of the bed, put your feet on the floor, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm here. Hey, you know, I want top dollar.
So let's say you mentor one of your young people, and they ask you, Doc, okay, let's say I'm approached with some short money opportunity. What should I be looking at to measure my time against the opportunity to know if I should say yes or no to the short money?
The first thing you should look at is the opportunity itself. Like, if I do this, does it open up more doors? Mm. If I do this, does it open up more opportunities? Does it put me in front of somebody? Does it build me a relationship with somebody? What is the value of that opportunity? I think that's the first step. Like for me, any product I push, I'm going low ticket first. I'm going low ticket. And then once I know that the demand is there, I go up. So I may say I'm working on a product. I may sell it here at this price, first 100, whatever. Then I'm going up and then I'm going up, you know. But then sometimes, let me ask you a question. If somebody said a piece of work that you did, they were going to pay you 0.001 cent. So 1/100th of a cent for a piece of work that you did.
Okay.
What you saying to that?
I got to ask some more questions.
Okay.
Are we saying that this is a one-time deal, that's how much I'm going to get paid on this one occurrence, and it will never multiply beyond that?
Okay, let me rephrase the question. This 0.001 cent, does that sounds like
nothing. It sounds minuscule.
Okay. So essentially, that's what artists, actually it's 0.004. Artists and musicians make per stream, like on Spotify, on iTunes. So in reality, 0.004 one time doesn't sound like a lot. But what if you get a million?
Mm-hmm.
What if you get 2 million? What if it really gets hot, you double up, you get 10 million? What if you have 5 records that sell 5 million, or that do 5 million streams? And then that's the slope. That's where it's like sometimes you may look at like the short money, focusing on the short money aspect will make people not do stuff. Like, why the hell am I gonna create a piece of music, waste my time, and put it up there for 0.004?
That's what I was trying to get out of you. That right there, you just said it. By saying no to the short money, you're going to cause people to not do anything and never create and never put themselves in position to get opportunities.
I didn't say that. That's because you're committed to that point.
No, I'm saying this is on your side. This is what I'm saying. Why you should say yes to the short money. You're saying there are times that you do need to say yes to the short money, because what will happen is you won't do anything waiting on long money to come around.
All right. Yeah. I was wrong on that last. Yes. So sometimes you got to say yes to the short money to get to the long money. Is that what we're trying to get to?
That's what we're trying to get to. That's the middle of the road, my friend.
Okay.
And I'm willing to meet you there.
Yeah, sometimes absolutely. Some progress is better than no progress.
Absolutely.
Some progress is better than no progress. So if you're going to sit around and wait for that, $10,000 speaking gig, but you ain't made $25 yet, yo, partner, you might need to chill. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, I've come across like, a lot of students who say that. So, Where I was saying that I've come across a lot of speakers who say that, where like they just quote themselves out of opportunities left and right. And they're not willing to take some short money to get to the long money opportunities. They would rather starve. And I get it. That's their principle.
Yeah.
That's them. That's,
yeah.
That's their strategy. Everybody's got to go their own journey. But yeah. I think that it does come a time when you do know what your minimum is, what your floor is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I think is the part that a lot of people misconstrue. What is my floor?
And I had somebody the other day, I was doing some work for him, and prices is up, you know, because we've been working too long for prices to be down. So they said, when I told them the price, they were like, no, I always pay this. Okay. You can pay this time. They emailed me a couple weeks ago, hey, I need this. I ain't even answer. Because the prices is here now.
Right.
I didn't gave you the value.
Right.
And if you don't want to come with me, that's fine. Because now that I've added the value and I've showed you that this is it, like, I've given anybody fair warning. Like, hey, guys, we got to go up now. This inflation is up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's $8 and a toenail for a six-pack of egg, man.
You got to give a toenail. That's the change. We want our money. So, all right. It's the Purpose Addict Show. If we were to connect this to people discovering, walking in, and fulfilling their purpose, how does what we've come to now, the middle of the road, how does that relate to someone either walking in, discovering, or fulfilling their purpose?
You got to start, and you don't get to start at level 15. You got to start at level 1.
Mm.
You got to start. Like, and you just don't get to jump in. Like, I'd be crazy right now if I think I'm going to be a comedian and I'm going to get as much as Andrew Schultz in a year.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a product ready. I mean, you know, I never say never, but it's highly likely in all likelihood. You got to start at level 1 and stop trying to skip levels.
Yeah.
Stop trying to skip levels. Stop trying to jump in the line. Get in there. Get your hands dirty. Get your feet dirty. Be strategic and be committed to the work. Be committed to the work and not so much the end product.
Yeah. The journey.
Yeah.
The whole premise of purpose is it's about the journey, not the destination. So you got to start and you got to expect to grow.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to expect to grow. And I think that's how it connects to purpose for me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what's up. All right, bet. Let's transition. Let's talk about footwork, man. For those who are just joining us, footwork is our segment where we identify at least one step that we've taken most recently to get us closer to a goal. And we hope that our audience, Purpose Addicts, every day, every week, every month, you are trying to take one step, big or small. So, Doc, what's one step you've taken recently?
All right. So, I spoke about it last week on May 26th, the book, The Producers of Pop, A Comprehensive Plan for Studying Popular Music Producers, will be out. F-Flat Publishing, so I'm going to continue to push that. And then you might have heard it in passing. I'm into group economics and working with people and helping others build, I guess, you know, sources of income for themselves. So one of my ideas that we've been going on, if you see my hat, I'm wearing a hat that says I'm dope in real life, because some of y'all just dope on social media and tough on social media. And we're just creating gear with me and one of my partners, 1440gear.com, 1440gear.com, and we'll get a thumbnail and we'll put it in the comments below. 1440gear.com, we're launching. It'll be t-shirts, it'll be trucker hats. I'm dope in real life. We're going to have a bunch of different colors there. So, yes, check us out. And yeah, check us out. What about you?
That's what's up. That's what's up. So, one step I've taken most recently is rebranding my company website that I host as a speaker. So right now, Elevated Authority is my company brand, but I actually just purchased a new domain, and I am shifting what my website is going to look and feel like, because I've started sourcing more gigs as a speaker and as a coach. And what I'm positioning myself to do is to open back up my coaching program and take on some coaching clients in the areas of leadership development and or life coaching. So that's something I'm doing one step now, playing chess, not checkers, to move me closer to the next one.
Have you got the domain yet? Are you willing to ship the domain yet?
Already got the domain, but I haven't shifted the site yet. Okay. I want to do some other steps
now
first.
I'm about to run my Googles and type it in. All right, that's dope, man.
Yeah, no, I hadn't done all my stuff. So, you know, my son, with his business, he builds websites. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my son. He's getting his business going and off the ground. So he's going to help me rebrand it. Plus, this gives him an opportunity
to practice and work the stuff out.
Practice and continue to prepare for what he wants to do with his launch. So, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, man. We coming along one step at a time.
One step at a time.
That's what this journey is about. Don't focus on the whole staircase, just a step in front of you.
That's how you build a wall as well.
That's how you build a wall. So, Purpose Addicts, as always, we got to leave you with a word of the day. This particular one is good, man, especially as we talk about this conversation around short money versus long money. It says, don't miss out on something that could be great just because it could also be difficult. Don't miss out on something that could be great just because it could also be difficult. There are things that we are saying no to. Not just short money, but there are things we're saying no to because it could be hard, but we recognize this is an opportunity that could unleash us into the world. Don't miss out on that opportunity. We, Purpose Addicts, Doc and Coach, challenge you. Go do something that you haven't done. Make yourself uncomfortable. Watch yourself grow. As always, we appreciate you for rocking with us. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show, go follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Check out more episodes. It's a lot of dope content. Season 3, we the Purpose Addicts. Live life on purpose. We out.
I think a lot of times everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush. Ain't they armpits to put deodorant on? It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world, will never get the chance to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things. And purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
Failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull from here, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of you. There are no problems. there's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned is that fear does not stop death, it stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?